In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Grace. Digitally, anyway, welcome especially to those who might be joining us and have not ever been in this space physically before. Welcome to all of you as well this morning. Those of you who have been here via Zoom, like we are right now, you might notice that there's at least one difference that we're trying to fix, or not fix, we're trying to make everything a little bit better every week. So I'd be curious to know what you think of our change this morning. A couple other announcements. This is the last week when our partner in ministry is the Emergency Family Assistance Association. There's information in the bulletin about EFA. I encourage you to make a contribution. I know that we are not showing up for worship in the church building, most of us these days, except for just the handful of us that are here. But we still, at the church building, have a spot in the narthex for collecting cards that can go to New Beginnings Prison Ministry and for collecting food donations that go to Harvest of Hope Food Pantry. I noticed over the past couple of weeks since we started sharing this information that we've gotten at least one person has brought some stuff by. So I will be figuring out how to deliver those things later this week. So if you want to make a contribution toward either of those, feel free to either bring them by the church building if you have access to the church building, or if you don't, give me a call or send me an email, and I will. We can connect and I can pick those up from you. And when I say that we're not showing up for worship at the church building, what I mean is we're not showing up inside the church building on Sunday mornings for worship, or really inside the church building at any time for worship. But this week, on Wednesday, we at Grace are introducing another worship experience. I think it's similar to what we do here during Lent, although I've never been here during Lent. I think it's similar to what we do, but what we're going to do is on Wednesday evenings, starting at 5:30, Wednesday evenings, no, and not every Wednesday, every other Wednesday, alternate Wednesdays, starting at 5:30, we're going to have an evening prayer service. It's going to be quiet. It's going to be contemplative. It's going to be infused with music, but no singing. And it'll be outside. It'll be outside in the courtyard. Either you feel free to sit down in the courtyard and the leadership will be up on top, or we can have some folks up on top as well, spread out with plenty of physical distance between each other. However, because that space is limited, we're setting up an online sign-up. So you'll need to reserve your spot either online, go on and do it yourself, or call me or call Amy or email me or Amy if you aren't able to sign up online but want to reserve a spot. And then once the spots for this week fill up, then we'll put a waiting list together for 2 weeks from this Wednesday. Please call me or email me or text me or Facebook message me or direct message me on Twitter if you have any questions about any of these things. You're probably aware, because you likely read through the bulletin either while I've been talking ad nauseum right now or before Amy let you into the worship service, you're probably aware that today is Josh and Catherine's last Sunday with us, which makes me a little sad because it's been fantastic to be able to experience the way that the two of them together and separately sing praises to God and worship through music. So toward the end of the liturgy, we will have a litany of farewell and Godspeed for them this morning. We turn now to worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves, and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your Spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus our Savior, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through God's Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
It's wrong.
Let us pray. Beloved and sovereign God, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom, that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from 1 Kings. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind, like no one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
We read together the psalm. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart. When your word is opened, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as you always do to those who love your name. Order my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments. Let your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your teaching.
The second reading is from Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justified. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the good or the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. People of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like the kingdom of heaven is like a whole bunch of parables that Jesus told, and he told them all in a row, and he told them to a big crowd of people, and a couple of them he explained to the disciples. But really, I mean, did you notice how many parables Jesus told them? I made a list right here, but when I was reading the gospel, I realized that I missed one. So I'm going to list them all, and I'll tell you which one that I missed when I was making the list the other day. There's the parable of the sower, plus the explanation of the parable of the sower. There's the parable of the weeds and the wheat. There's the parable of the mustard seed. So far, we're still farming, by the way. There's the parable of the yeast. And then, after the parable of the yeast, there's the parable or the explanation of the parable of the weeds. This is the one that I missed. No, it's not. Hold on. Please hold. So, there's the parable of the treasure in the field. That's the one I have here. And then, there's the parable... Oh, no, I got them all. The treasure hidden in a field. Yeah, I got them all. Never mind. I was wrong about being wrong. There's the parable of the treasure in the field. There's the parable of the merchant in search of fine pearls. And there's the parable of the net that gets thrown into the sea and collects all the fish. So for those not keeping track at home... That's seven parables that Jesus tells in chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel. Now, of course, you understand that there aren't any stage directions in the Bible, so we don't know whether it took Jesus 15 minutes or 3 minutes to tell these parables. We don't know whether it took him a few hours where he told a parable and then the people talked about some other stuff and then he told another one. We don't know whether it took a couple of days for him to tell these parables. It seems to me, though, like he told them at least in something of a compressed time frame, if not rapid fire. That's how I read the chapter anyway, since at the beginning of this chapter, Matthew, the gospel writer, tells us that Jesus is on a boat and talking to a whole bunch of people that are gathered along the beach and listening to him. So it seems to me like maybe he told these parables all together while he was on the boat and they were on the beach. Regardless, he most likely told them to generally the same crowd. I mean, there might have been a couple people in the back that showed up late, so missed the first couple. There might have been a couple people on the side over there that decided they didn't want to listen anymore, and so they took off. But by and large, it was probably the same group of people that heard all seven of these parables, which means likely that they were perhaps just as overwhelmed by all of these as I am right now, a few centuries later. So why did Jesus tell these parables then, if they're just going to confuse me? And the point that he's making isn't obvious. I mean, wouldn't it have been better, don't you think, if Jesus had just made the point that he was going to make and said, you should love each other, or whatever it is that he wanted to communicate? Well, if you look at the chapter, if you look at chapter 13, it's not in today's reading, but if you look at verse 13 of chapter 13 in Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us why he tells parables. And you don't have to go look it up right now, because I'll tell you. The reason that Jesus tells parables, according to Jesus' own words, is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. See, here's the thing. Jesus' hearers, the people that Jesus was talking to, most likely had their own opinions about, well, everything, just like you and I have our own opinions about everything. I've been known to say that if you get three Lutherans in a room, you'll have six opinions about everything. And the kingdom of heaven is included in that list of things that people of faith have opinions about. I mean, just let's back up for a second. Have you ever ended up talking with someone you don't know, but you end up in a conversation with them? Have you ever ended up talking with someone about faith or religion? I mean, you'll discover, if you haven't done this before, it's kind of a fun activity, by the way, but you'll discover, if you haven't done this before, that everyone has an opinion about religion. Everyone has an opinion about religion. And maybe if you've stumble into a conversation with somebody at a dinner party or something, you had a really fascinating and good conversation. Even maybe with somebody who doesn't agree with you 100%, you can still share information, share perspectives in a respectful way, and have a good conversation. But there's also the possibility that you'll have a really uncomfortable conversation. Maybe like on an airplane where you're stuck sitting next to somebody. That's where it usually happens to me anyway. Or you end up talking to somebody who holds a really different perspective than yours. And you can tell that nothing that you say is going to have any impact on what it is that they feel or think is right. Which is fine, but it's uncomfortable. Well, 10 to 1 says that most of the people standing on the beach listening to Jesus had all kinds of strongly held opinions about all kinds of things, religion included, the kingdom of heaven included. So if Jesus came right out and told them, described for them the kingdom of heaven, you know, like saying something like, well, God's grace is more significant than the rules that you think we have to follow, if Jesus just came out and said that, or if Jesus just came out and said, point blank, God loves you exactly as you are. If Jesus just came out and said those things, 10 to 1 says that most people wouldn't believe him, wouldn't listen to him, would argue with him. Oh, no, you can't be right because it says right here, remember. That's written down here, remember. They would argue with Jesus, and the point that Jesus was making, the truth that Jesus was sharing, would be lost because they wouldn't listen. Because it didn't mesh well with their worldview. But if there's a merchant who gives up everything that he has because he found something so much more valuable than everything else that he has, so that he sells everything so that he could go and get this treasure that he's found that's so valuable, no matter what your opinion is about the kingdom of heaven, you might wonder, well, what is that treasure that's so very valuable? And how do I get it? Or maybe, perhaps they're paying attention to what might be valuable. Unconditional love from God, anyone? Hello, that's pretty valuable in my opinion. Salvation by grace through faith and not through works? Paul talks to us about that plenty. But then, if a couple people pay close enough attention to what might be so valuable, even if it's something so seemingly small and relatively benign or insignificant, God's love is for you, period, end of story, no matter what, which feels pretty straightforward, even if a little unbelievable. But if one person sees that somebody else holds that as really valuable, something even so small, then it will infuse and spread out and influence the whole crowd as yeast in the three measures of flour has an impact on the whole loaf or loaves or however many, how much bread three measures of flour makes. See, God's grace and mercy and love will work slowly and almost imperceptibly, but will leaven all of society. Seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. This is why Jesus tells parables. And this, the yeast in the flour, the tiny mustard seed that grows to be plenty big. This is how your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven happens. When others get a glimpse of God's kingdom, God's reign, and then that person is impacted. And then through that person, someone else gets a gift of God's reign on earth. And it spreads all throughout all of society. But the way it does it is it sneaks up on them. You can't smack somebody in the face with God's grace. It's got to kind of sneak up on them. Which might be why what Jesus was planning when he told them the parables. Because I come away confused and they work on me until I begin to recognize a little bit more of what God's kingdom is all about. And in fact, one might even say that the kingdom of heaven, like I've already said just a few minutes ago, the kingdom of heaven is like these parables, because God's grace is hidden there and sneaks up on us when we least expect it. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Confident in your care, O God, and helped by your Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Merciful God, your reign is revealed to us in common things: a mustard shrub, a woman baking bread, a fishing net. Help your church witness to the surprising yet common ways you encounter us in daily life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding. Increase our understanding and awe of your creation. Guide the work of scientists and researchers. Treasuring the earth, may we live as grateful and healing caretakers of our home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As the birds of the air nest in branches of trees, gather the nations of the world into the welcoming shade of your merciful reign. Direct leaders of nations to build trust with each other and walk in the way of peace, especially as your world strives to heal and recover from our current pandemic reality. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Your Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for the saints according to your will. Help us when we do not know how to pray. Give comfort to the dying, refuge to the weary, justice to those who are oppressed, and healing for all those who are sick or in any kind of need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. You show steadfast love and direct us to ask of you what we need. Help this congregation ask boldly for what is most needed. Refresh us with new dreams of being your people in this old place and new time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. In you, our lives are never lost. Strengthen us by the inspiring witness of your people in all times and places. Embolden our witness now, and one day gather us with all your saints in light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
In certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with each other, with those with you, and then with those apart from you on the magic of the internet. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, one cup. These are signs of your abundant grace, uniting us as one in you. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God, for in the night when he was betrayed, your Son Jesus Christ took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Then again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and this cup, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and our celebration, that we may be fed with the body and blood of your Son and be filled with your life and goodness. To you, O God, be all honor and glory today and always. Amen. Lord, remember us in your mercy, and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not from temptation.
But deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
People of God, this table is God's table, and Christ is the host here, and so everyone is invited to this feast. Hopefully you've got your tables set at home. I forgot to remind you before liturgy. Hope you remembered. Those of you who are by yourselves at home, just hold on for a second. Those of you who are with other people, I invite you to serve each other, not paying attention to me and telling each other the body of Christ given for you when you share the bread, and saying the blood of Christ shed for you when you share the cup. And now, those of you who are by yourselves at home, I invite you to take the bread and hear these words spoken to you, the body of Christ given for you.
God of the welcome table, in this meal we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts, so that we may share your unifying love with all, through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life.
Amen. Amen.
And now I need you guys to come right over here, I think, and stand right here, because we're going to do a litany of farewell and Godspeed. Friends in Christ, today we give thanks to God for the blessing that you have bestowed on this congregation through Catherine and Josh. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for those who enhance worship and your creation through the gift of music. Today especially we give you thanks for Catherine and Josh, for the ways in which you have blessed us through them, and for the ways in which you have blessed them through this community. As they leave this congregation, we ask you to continue to bless them as they establish new rituals and new communities in the new place where they will be living. Grant us grace to trust in you and to continue your blessings to all of us, known in the gift of music, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now a blessing. Eternal God, we thank you for Josh and Catherine. As they have been a blessing to us, so now send them forth to be a blessing to others. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now hold on, don't go anywhere, and just pause for a minute, because Mr. Tom Lawson is here, president of our congregation, to make an offering or something. Come on, Tom.
I have tears in my eyes also. We're going to miss you guys. You have just been wonderful. Absolutely. We lose a great couple, but Austin, Texas, and the Continental Club get out.
Yeah.
Go over to Elgin and get some Texas sauce.
No, we will.
Yeah. Here's a gift and a thank you note from our congregation. God bless. Godspeed. Continue. Someday, if you get lost, stop in. We'll open your doors anytime. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. We'll see you again soon.
We love you guys.
Do you guys need to say anything to us about what it is that you're doing or anything like that, or do you want to just keep going?
You can talk.
No, you can't.
Okay. What we're going to do is miss you guys. That's the first thing. As soon as you walk out of here, it's goodbye for now, as Kurt always says. But we're moving to Texas to be closer to my family, and hopefully make the holidays a little bit less complicated. Fewer flights and less complications, we hope, Lord willing. I'm keeping my same job. Josh is going to be playing piano for voice lessons, if they happen, at Baylor up in Waco. We will just be closer to family so that when things open back up, we are right there. We love you guys so much. And we're going to miss you all so much. The ones that we've known for so long, and Pastor Matthew, who's just joined us so recently, but has so quickly become a good friend, and we just adore you all, and we're going to miss you so much. Josh has said to me so many times, and I concur, that this is such a loving and welcoming and wonderful congregation, and we'd never been part of a Lutheran tradition until this point, neither of us had. We adore it, and I've been researching Lutheran congregations in Austin. So we hope that this experience will continue to enrich our spiritual lives, both in Boulder and in Austin. So, did you want to say anything?
Thank you all so much for everything. It's been a real pleasure to be here. We hope to see you again really soon.
Yes, that.
And now the benediction. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and Holy Spirit the Comforter, bless us and keep us in eternal love. Amen.
Send forth thy God's mercy, Lord.
Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.